Welcome to the Voice of Hope podcast. We're going to share some slightly different material than our usual Bible study content. Recently, Heralds of Hope had a series of fundraising breakfasts, which included a business topic brought by a local business leader. The following presentation, entitled Healthy Conflict, was made at our Strategic Partner Breakfast event in Myerstown, Pennsylvania, by Keith Burkholder. I certainly learned a lot, and I trust you will too. I hope you enjoy today's program.
Well, good morning to each of you. Happy to be here this morning with you. Thank you for the breakfast, Heralds of Hope. When J. Mark was talking, he said that he mentioned something that he cannot identify with. That is not the case with conflict, is it? All of us can identify with conflict. And it's interesting to me that something that is so common among us that we spend very little time actually talking about. So conflict is something we all face, all encounter in life. It'd be nice to think that, and I think that young families, young leaders, wherever we are, new supervisors, new managers, when we take on that role, we think that, you know, we're going to do this in a way so that we don't have conflict. I think that subtly in the back of our mind, we have this concept that if we do it right, that we could avoid it all together. In fact, I just had a fellow yesterday called me about a relationship he's involved in that's struggling. And he said he looks back and he wonders what he could have done different. And that is healthy to do that. And we want to minimize it. But even if we do the best we know, the best marriages, the best teams, the best school teachers, it's just part of life. And so the goal this morning, Jeremy wondered if I'd come over and share some thoughts and hopefully just stimulate our thinking around it. The goal is to learn to navigate it in a way that it's not destructive and that it can actually be healthy after we have processed through it. So as I was sitting here, I was thinking the very fact that we're here is because of an epic conflict. We read about that in Revelations 12, verse 7 says that there was war in heaven. Tells us he was cast down. Verse 11 says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. And this is the root of it all. Conflict. Conflict. Because our Father has set up a kingdom and he has an enemy. And that battle's fought in our hearts for the kingdom. So we can eliminate it. I mean, we minimize it, but we will never avoid it altogether. So in life, since we can't avoid conflict, we can't avoid struggle and pain. But what we can do is increase our capacity to work through it and handle it and work through it in an effective way where it's productive. So that's some of the things we hope to look at this morning. And it's really a tool when we come into a team, which is anytime two or more people come together to work together, there's just tools that we need to do that effectively. And one of them is when you come to work for me, I want you to know, Tony, if you and I get together and you hire me, we may as well just have the conversation up front. As we work together, there's going to be times things are going to come up where we don't see it alike. I want you to be okay with that. And this morning, not just to work through it, but to learn to be comfortable with it, to a degree, to be comfortable with conflict. I think so often when we think of the word conflict, and maybe I should just qualify that, we're not talking about raised voices and slandering, cutting remarks. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, Tony, if you and I are working together, some days we're not going to see it the same. Some days I may have some behaviors that are annoying to you. Some days I may stumble. This is the conflict that we're talking about. And working through that in a healthy way is very possible. But so often it's not been modeled for us because we've never been shown how to be okay. And it's okay. A psychologist told me one time that we, for many, many years, have told parents, never argue in front of your children. I suppose that's true if you're going to fight. But he said, now we have a generation of parents or a generation of children who have never seen how to work through differences. And as soon as a difference shows up, they walk out on each other. Where it would maybe be better if we show our children and we model that for them and tell our wives in front of our children. For my case, Marlene, I think that you see it different than I. I want to understand. I want to hear you. Tell me how you see it. And we have this healthy dialogue. That's what we're talking about this morning. So this is a tool, really, that Heralds of Hope wanted to share with you that you could take along home, and hopefully this increasing our capacity to handle and work through life situations. There's a word for that, and we call it growth. And I hope this morning that it's going to be an asset and something you can take home and deposit in your account. So a tool, these are not tools in like leaders, as leaders. And when I talk about leaders, I'm talking about parents, school teachers, supervisors, managers, many roles as leaders. We are gardeners, not mechanics. And I think this concept, and that's the first point I want to leave with you and encourage you in. If we see ourselves as mechanics, what do mechanics do? Somebody. They fix things. And you know, when we encounter relationships or situations, we have an employee or a team member that needs to be talked to. What do we want to do? We sit down and we want to fix it. But we're much more like gardeners in life. And gardeners come along and try to create the environment where good things can happen, because the very nature of conflict happens in relationship. And we are only one part of that relationship. So even if we do what we need to do, there's no guarantee that the results will turn out like we had hoped for them to turn out. But as gardeners, we get down on our hands and knees and try to dig the soil. We have our trowel and our hose. We take the distractions away and try to create this environment where good things can happen, where teams flourish and growth happens. So as dads and teachers and supervisors and leaders, we're gardeners of life. The farmer doesn't make the seed grow. You and I don't fix relationships. We create environments where they can heal and where people, both parties, benefit and become better by it. So I would like to give an illustration, maybe a visual to help us. When we encounter this, to just give us a visual of what it looks like. So as we live and work, whatever teams we're on, inevitably we come to places where we feel this narrow place that's called conflict, and we become very uncomfortable with it. It can be a supervisor that needs to talk to a team member. It can be a teacher needs to talk to a student. It can be a dad needing to have a conversation with his son about his conduct. Maybe you're on a board and you have a concern a conviction, in fact, about the trajectory of the mission. You have a concern and you want to bring it up. All this is what we're talking about. And almost none of us have ever been shown how to work through it. So what do we do? What are some things we tend to do when we come up against conflict? Somebody help me.
Avoid it.
Yeah. We act like it doesn't exist. We avoid it. That's one thing we do. What else? We become defensive. We start digging in. And the fact that we are avoiding it doesn't make it go away, so we begin to resent. So instead of moving into this and risk disappointing somebody, we withhold it and begin to build resentment. See, we either talk through things, we talk things out, or we act things out. And it's always better to talk them out. What else do we do? We pretend it doesn't exist. Sometimes we hint and hope.
Some people explode.
Sometimes we let it go to the point that one day we just explode. Sometimes we let it go and hope things change. When we come to these places, the way we conduct ourselves makes conflict. See, conflict is a neutral thing. It's not good or bad. It just is. It just exists. And I don't quite like that word conflict. Maybe opposition is natural. It's a neutral thing. The way we work through it determines if it becomes productive or unproductive. And in this space is where relationships are destroyed and get worse. But interestingly, in this same space is where relationships get stronger, deeper, better than they were before. Because in this space, relationships are artificial. They're not real. They're not genuine. They haven't been able to bear the weight and test of working through challenges. When the relationship isn't strong enough for me and you to be able to share our deepest convictions and feelings and thoughts. Over here, relationships in this space, on the other side of unhealthy conflict, are deep, authentic, enduring relationships. Because in this relationship that you and I can develop, we will never come to an impasse because we've learned to work through them and we're comfortable with that. I want you to share with me. So the first step, what is the key to working through this? And that's just what we want to leave you with, a few things to think about. One is we want to make it easy. And we need to take the initiative in this. We want to make and create an environment where it's easy for our people, either our teams in the workplace, make it easy for our wives, our children to come to us and share their perspective with us. I remember years ago, I teach my team this, what I'm sharing this morning. And I remember a young married person, young woman came to me. And she said to me, she said, "Keith, I know that you want to know if you ever have some behaviors or things that bother, that you do that would bother us." And I said to her, I said, "That's right." I said, "Do you have something you'd like to share?" She said, "I do." Well, I said, "You feel very comfortable to do that." We need to make it safe. She said, Sometimes when you're leaving, you say you'll be back by 10 o'clock. And she said, sometimes you don't show up till 10:30. And she said, that really bothers me. And I just wanted you to know. Thank you for sharing that. I am sorry that I've done that, and I want to change that. The first step is we make it easy for people to come to us and share their perspective. To know that we really are open, even if we don't like the message, we recognize the courage of the messenger. You know, difficult conversations aren't anything new. How about in a girl, a woman that was engaged and needs to tell her husband to be that she's expecting with a child? You know the story. It's the conversation Mary had with Joseph. Hard conversations. Joseph needed to make it easy for Mary to tell him what had happened. Abraham and Lot. I think we learned so much. Here's a man that perceived, had the perception, the wisdom that here was a man that was going to be difficult to come to an agreement with. And he said, I think it's better if we separate. Because you need to know it takes two to work through and retain healthy and growing relationships. I think Abraham perceived in Lot that it wasn't going to work. And Lot's choices validated Abraham's and confirmed his belief. So, acknowledge conflict when it does come up. Just acknowledge it. Ask the person, you know, there's something I'd like to talk about. Would you be okay with that? Sit down with them. If it's a team member, tell them, you know, I want to talk to you about your performance. It just seems subpar to me because I think you're capable of so much. But I want you to tell me, maybe there's something going on in your life that I can help you with. But I've seen you do so much more, and you're capable more than this. I believe that is in you. Maybe we need to sit down. Maybe you're here this morning and you have a leader that you would like to talk to. Maybe it's an employee wanting to talk to his leader. And maybe we need to sit down and have the conversation. Just say, you know, I believe in your heart that you mean it well. But it doesn't always come across that way. And I just wanted to share that with you. So how do we deal with this when we come to these places where there's opposition, where we need to have the courage to step up? But particularly, I'd like to leave an example with you because a lot of yous are men that have people answering to yous. And I would like to leave you an example of a man that also had a team of people. One day they were traveling and he knew that they were arguing about something, disputing issues. And at the end of the day, they got to where they were going, it seems, the best we can tell. And he asked his team, what were yous disputing along the way? And it says that none of them answered because they were arguing about who was going to be the greatest. Who's going to be the next supervisor? So what to do when you come to a place like this in life? Maybe it's your wife. It's everywhere. If you don't have conflict in your life right now, there's people around you that do. And they need you to encourage them to first acknowledge it. The story goes on to say that Jesus, when they didn't answer him, it says he sat down and he told them to gather around. He's our model for how to handle it. When we're going through this narrow passage, the goal is not to point out faults. It's not to criticize and set people straight. This makes conflict go bad. The goal is to do it like Jesus did and have the mind of Christ. He saw it. He didn't accuse them. He didn't fault them. He just sat down and saw it as a moment to teach. And he taught them a powerful lesson about humility. So when you face conflict, Jesus modeled for us how it can be productive. And he built an extraordinary team, didn't he? But he was a gentle leader, but he didn't sidestep. He didn't like conflict, but neither did he sidestep it. We have today leaders that step back when they need to be stepping up. Today we have parents that walk out when they need to be walking in. Jesus took a child in his arms and he said, you know, until you become like this. As we pass through here, one of the key and a prerequisite to healthy relationships and working through conflict and helping it be productive, where teams flourish, families flourish, the schoolroom flourishes, is not sidestepping it, not avoiding it. It's facing it head on in the right spirit. Humility, which is what Jesus was talking, is so critical. A broken spirit of man back in my community had a retired police officer tell him a story. I'd like to share it because I think it teaches a lesson so powerfully about the value of humility. That humble, you know, humility comes from the same roots as that word humus, that rich, dark soil where good things happen, where growth happens, where the nutrients are. And that's where you and I, that's the environment as gardeners that we can create for our families, for our wives, our children, our churches and our schools and our workplaces and our communities. One night he was out on the highway patrolling, taking radar, and a car come through. Doing, as I recall, about 30 miles an hour over the speed limit. And he thought, you know, that's just too fast. It's just too fast. So he pulled them over and went up, explained to her, was a woman. He explained to her why he pulled her over, asked for a license, insurance, registration. And he went back to his vehicle. So he looked over all the documents and went to get a pen to write the citation, and they didn't have one. He said, I looked in my glove box. I looked in my console. I couldn't believe it. I looked in my briefcase. I looked everywhere. Didn't have a pen. What to do? As I was sitting there, something occurred to me, he said. You know, a citation is just a piece of paper. And if a person doesn't have a broken spirit, a piece of paper doesn't help. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go front. I'm going to explain my scenario to her. And if she helps me, I'm going to let her go. So he went front. She rolled her window down and he began to tell her what happened. I don't have a pen. I'm going to need to borrow a pen. And she started cursing and swearing in his face. And he said, tell you what, why don't you just shut your car off, get in my cruiser, and we'll go back to the barracks. And he did, wrote her a citation, ended up in court. Sometime later, the judge knew the officer, very reasonable officer, and had a reputation like that. And they cited her. And then they got outside. Police officer said to her, still hoping to teach her because he's seen his role as a gardener, apparently. And he said to her, if you'd just given me a pen, I wasn't going to cite you. When we're passing this narrow passage where it gets tight, where we begin to feel that discomfort, if we will just be broken, if we will enter that with humility, good things happen. When we meet opposition, good things can happen. Good things will happen. After I gave this presentation one time, sometimes people need encouragement going through the middle of this. One time after this, I gave this presentation, a woman came up to me, her husband was with her, and she said, years ago, my husband and I went through a place in our relationship where I really thought it was going to end up in divorce. They would have belonged to a church where divorce would have been acceptable. But he said, one night, my husband, after we had a tiff, she said, my husband never said much. But that night he said to me, he said, I just want you to know, I will never walk out on you. And she said, that was a turning point in our relationship. Sometimes your son needs to hear you say, son, I know you and I are going through some challenges right now, and our relationship isn't where either of us would like it to be, but we're going to get through this because I'm not going to quit till we cross the finish line. Sometimes if you're here, your daughter needs to hear you say, we're going to get through this. I know now it seems like it'll never end, but it will. It's right here where people walk out on people. It's right here where people give up on relationships. It's where dads and sons stop talking. But it doesn't have to be that way. God made a way to arrive on the other side where relationships are better and healthier. And that's what I want for you. It's what we all want. So just leave you with some thoughts. What does move us through here? Love moves us through, not force. Influence moves us through here, not authority. Understanding others leads us through here and moves us from artificial, unhealthy relationships to deep, satisfying, fulfilling, enduring relationships. Understanding others, not setting others straight. So, in closing up and wrapping up, it's been my observation that it's the rare leader who combines grace and truth. So you have leaders who are like this piece of velvet I have here. They're soft and they're easy. They remember your name. They know the things you like. They remember your birthday. But they will avoid having the hard conversation with you, which by deduction means they will never help you grow. They will sidestep, let it slide kind of leaders. Then it's been my observation that there's other leaders who are very decisive. They deal with things and they come down hard on things. Just this week, I had a man tell me he was wondering. He was working with a person in his church and passing through here. And I shared with him the idea of not separating grace and truth, because the law, the Bible says, came by Moses. But it says that by Jesus Christ came grace and truth. So he said to me, but he said there's something like rules. And that's right. They come down hard on things and lose people in the process. And nobody wins. But it's the rare leader who will maintain truth and hold to values and that core necessity of convictions, but wrap it with gentleness and tenderness, with respect. Sitting down and having a conversation, what does it look like when you have the hammer wrapped in velvet? We don't have time. I would love to hear your thoughts. But it's sitting down with that person and just sitting across the table and looking him in the eye and saying, you know, I need to say something that's going to be hard for you to hear and harder for me to say. I want to say this as kindly as I can, but I also need to say it as clearly, and I want to say it as clearly as I can. Are you going to be okay with that? Are you in a place where you can hear that? And I have yet for somebody to say no. They'll be uncomfortable like you are, or like you should be. So God help us. God help us. Because ultimately, it's to work through that relationship so that we can have influence for God's kingdom. That's why we want the relationship to work. And by this way, we can model for others that God did make a way. When we face opposition, it does not need to be destructive, and it does not need to fall apart. It's actually designed in this pain and in this gap is where growth happens. Thank you for giving me the gift of your attention.
Thank you for listening to Healthy Conflict by Keith Burkholder. If you would like to know more about Heralds of Hope or this presentation, please visit our website, heraldsofhope.org, or call us 717-485-4021 or email hope@heraldsofhope.org.